Right now, it is time to be joined by our friends at the Berkshire Edge, theberkshireedge.com. Marcy and David join us on a Wednesday morning live, and we take a look at just some of the stories that they are covering at the Berkshire Edge, and we say good morning to them. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Whoops, Marcy has to grab her phone. There she is.
Morning.
There she is. There she is. I thought maybe she was still out counting votes.
No.
In fact.
No, we're still placing votes in the ballot box. Right.
Well, I want to hear.
That's the way we do it up here, Marshall.
Before we go any further, I want to hear it from Massachusetts for electing. The first lesbian governor?
Lesbian, yeah. Female.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess they go together.
There aren't too many male lesbians around.
No. But, I mean, we have our first female governor, and she is also a lesbian. So it's quite interesting. And she's been our attorney general for many years now, so is well known.
It's interesting the way Massachusetts goes back and forth between in the governorship between Republicans and Democrats. It's almost like it's an 8-year cycle.
Yeah, it is interesting, isn't it?
Well,
remember Governor Weld was a Republican.
Yeah.
But he was we have a special brand of Republicans that we.
Well, you're not considered Republicans in the other Republicans.
Well, you know, they would be considered left-wing liberals in some states.
Yeah.
You know, our so-called Republicans. So, we like them.
That's right. Well, let's get on to.
We really couldn't bear to listen to the election returns last night. I mean, we know that. That Maura Healey won, but we haven't heard anything about the ballot initiatives. And I think the one about the ballot two, question two, about the dental insurance, I think passed because we got an email from a lobbying group that it looked like that was about to pass. But we haven't heard the rest, so. Stay tuned.
Well, in Connecticut, one of the ballot initiatives that lost last year won big this year, and that is the right to early vote. Early vote.
Oh, interesting.
So a big turnaround. It won big time this year. Well, let's get on to some of the stories because, once again, there is angst and a fight going on in West Stockbridge.
Oh, it's terrible.
Foundry. I thought this was settled between the Foundry and Tux Oriental Express.
It is terrible. Did you say you thought it was settled?
I thought it was settled last year.
No. I mean, they came to an uneasy truce.
Yeah.
But this is in part not the fault. I mean, anyway, let's give a little background. I mean, there is a Vietnamese restaurant called Trux Oriental Express, and there is also a performing arts venue called The Foundry. And one of the things that happened is that the town...
Well, we have to say that they're in some proximity to each
other. They are quite close to each other. The Foundry owns a big piece of property, and Trux Orient Express is on a little side street, and the town at one point closed the access road to Trux Orient Express. And now the only way you can get to Trux is by going over the land that the Foundry owns. So this is the first issue. The second thing is that the Foundry, over the last 2 years, has been having outdoor events on its land in the summer, which has made it difficult for cars to get to Trux Oriental Express. For cars to get to the Trux.
Yeah.
And also, it's created noise in town, which Trux claims is driving people away from her restaurant. So last summer there was some sort of a truce. The Foundry allowed cars. I mean, they made very careful to keep their audiences off to the side so that cars could get to Truck's restaurant. But you know, but the noise, the parking and the noise level are issues. And so now, the woman who owns the Foundry is asking the select board to give her approvals again for her, to go ahead with these events. I mean, she had I don't know if it's approvals, but she had permissions to
She had a special permit.
A special permit to stage these outdoor events last summer, and she wants them repeated. And so this is like the second meeting of the planning board to go over this, and it wasn't settled, and it's extremely contentious. And I know our managing editor, Shaw Israel Isaacson, has been covering it. Last time, for the first meeting, he wrote that it was a very contentious meeting, and the chair of the meeting, Dana Bixby, wrote to us and said, it wasn't a contentious meeting. It was a well-run meeting. It was a contentious argument. but last night, it looks like everybody got upset. I mean, Dana Bixby, the chair, at one point slammed down a whole bunch of papers onto the desk. I mean, she's a very level-headed woman. She's an architect and a good one. And, she's at her wit's end with these people. And so, but the worst thing is that, the town is lining up, neighbor against neighbor. And I think that's what's the most upsetting. I mean, this is a little town that has really been revitalized in the last few years. I mean, it was a sleepy little town, and then this number 6 Depot, a coffee shop, opened up there, and it became kind of a mecca for young people to come and have coffee. And then,
it became a hipster escape.
Yeah, it became a kind of, yes, it did.
Yeah.
And then this wonderful Turnpark art space opened. This young Russian couple that had a big sculpture collection of their own. They are truly Russian. I mean, they are from Russia. They opened up this wonderful outdoor museum in West Stockbridge, and and now there's a new restaurant there. And I mean, it became really, as David said, a hipster escape. And everybody was so thrilled that the town was being revitalized. Now there's this big fight, it's kind of divided the town and made everybody very unhappy.
Right.
So it's sort of like, I mean, it seems that even in little towns in the Berkshires, there's no such thing as reasonable discussion anymore.
So which way do you think, is there any indication which way this will go?
Well, if you read the article, you can see that the letters written into the planning board greatly favor the Foundry. But there are some very vocal people who are supporting Truck. We've had letters to the editor supporting Truck, all want to point out that Truck's family was Vietnamese, and they came to this country a long time ago, and they set up this, they survived the Vietnam War and have been here a long time, and the Foundry's only here for a few years, and how come we're, not protecting this poor Vietnamese
immigrant,
so it's gotten, I mean, and that takes it beyond the realm of focusing on the issue, and, so I don't know. I'm not sure how this is going to come out.
Well, there's another meeting.
There's another meeting, right, for sure.
On the 21st, so
yes.
Marshall will be back with you on a report about that.
Right.
So this is to be continued.
Right. I should say something that we didn't put on the on the list of stories, but also related to West Stockbridge that I just want to quickly mention. There is a sculptor in West Stockbridge called Joel Hotchkiss, who has a he makes primarily mobiles, and has a shop in West Stockbridge called Hotchkiss Mobiles. And now he has been commissioned by somebody in Iowa for a sculpture. And so he has a sculpture called The Landing Egret. It was commissioned to adorn a new corporate facility at the Des Moines, Iowa International Airport. And so we just put up a story about that and the picture of the sculpture, which is really quite wonderful. So speaking of West Stockbridge, you can take a look at that, too.
Well, I want to move on to this, and I knew this would happen sooner or later. An informal group has been formed, the Housatonic Clean Water Alliance. They've hired an attorney, and talk about upping the ante. This is going to bring this this situation to a whole new level.
Yes, well, this we've talked about the Housatonic Water Works.
Yep.
Yes, which is a privately owned little company, water company.
Producing the way disgusting water.
whose pipes are really doesn't have the resources to maintain itself. So the water is that comes out of the pipes in Housatonic is rusty.
It's manganese, right?
Manganese,
right. But whatever it is, it's brown and it looks horrible and you don't want to drink it, you don't want to bathe in it.
And you don't want to wash your clothes in it either.
And you don't want to cook with it.
Right.
So there has been, there's a very informal group called the Housatonic Clean Water Alliance. And they are not really a legal entity, but they have raised money, although they won't say how much. And now one member of the alliance, on her own, she says, a woman named Deborah Herman, has hired an attorney from Boston. They're going to, move the dispute with the Housatonic Water Works to a higher level. Since there's no formal membership and no formal organization, this woman says that Deborah Herman says they can't really hire a lawyer. So a lawyer needs to have a contract with at least one solid person. And so she is it. And she, apparently she's paying for this out of her own pocket, but I doubt it. Somehow I think the Clean Water Alliance is going to be able to help support this lawyer. But she, the news is that she is, in fact, hiring a lawyer. So we'll see.
Well, this is as we said before in our previous reports on this issue, this is the Housatonic Water Works, which is the little water company that provides water to the village of Housatonic, that is a village within the town of Great Barrington, is privately owned, which is one of the throwback to the early days of municipal systems in which water systems, as well as roads, were privately owned.
Right, turnpike.
And the owner of the Housatonic Water Works stubbornly refuses to give it up and make it part of the town water system.
Because they make money on it.
Yeah, they make money on it.
They're not investing money back into the waterworks. They are drawing out several hundred thousand dollars a year.
Which is why in the past, when roads and water systems were privately owned, they became publicly owned so that they had the resources that they could draw on the community's resources to maintain themselves. So this is a continuing fight that's going on.
Right. And it's not clear what options there are. So this is going to be interesting now that we have a lawyer. It looks like either the town has to buy it, and the town doesn't have the money to buy it, Or fix it up, or the state has to get involved. But the state so far has not, you know, has not moved on this, and so it's unclear, you know, what can happen. But the people in Housatonic, I mean, this has been going on for years, but lately they've become really fed up, and so
the water's gotten worse.
And they've lost their patience, and so there are demonstrations in Housatonic and in Great Barrington. You know, it's being discussed at the Great Barrington Select Board meetings, and now there is a lawyer involved, so it's going to be interesting.
All right.
Stay tuned, because we're following this.
A couple of interesting stories, part of your business Monday lineup that we'll go to next.
Yeah, well, we are concentrating our business stories on Monday, and generating a lot of new and interesting stories for our Business Monday. So we have two this week. One is that for anybody who shops in Great Barrington, the store Byzantium has been a staple for 43 years. It was started by this Annie Minifee 43 years ago when she was a young woman and there was very little gentrification in Great Barrington. And so she has really borne witness to 43 years of changes in downtown Great Barrington. And at this point, she's closing down the store, not because it's not doing well, but because she's tired. I don't even know if she tried to sell it. But she said, you know, it's the problem is not with the town. The problem is with the difficulty of running a small business these days. It's, you know, largely supply chain issues she has to be buying merchandise earlier and earlier in order to be sure of getting supplies. She used to be able to just buy, you know, a few things and see if they sold and then replenish. But now she's having to make commitments and lay out money, you know, much further and in advance. And she just feels, but she does. Nevertheless, I mean, she talks to our writer, and we have this new writer, John Towns, writing business stories for us. And John was the writer for Berkshire Trade and Commerce, which was a print newspaper that was printing for 25 years, and then the publisher just decided in the spring that he was going to shut down. He didn't try to sell it. He didn't try to do anything. Just like the owner of the store, he just decided that was it. 25 years was enough, and he shut down. And so John, I mean, has been available and is writing some stories for us. And he's very good because he's been covering business in the Berkshires for 25 years, but this is an interesting story. I mean, I'm not going to give all the details, but it's an interesting story for anybody who has shopped in downtown Great Barrington and wants to know what somebody who has been running a store there for 43 years has observed about the evolution of the clientele and the economic environment in downtown Great Barrington. And then we have another story. Sorry, David.
Go right ahead.
These are stories that I put up, so I have a personal investment in them. But we have a wonderful woman named Harriet Ziefert, who is a great shopper and a great enthusiast of things beautiful. So she is writing a monthly story for us on interesting things that you can buy in the Berkshires. I mean, what's in the store? And we're calling her column Personal Shopper because that's really what she is. She's a great shopper, and this is her personal take on things. And so she has written us a story about scarves that are available also on Railroad Street, a couple of doors down, called Karen Allen Fiber Arts. And, you know, many people know that Karen Allen is an actress who is in Raiders of the Lost Ark and several other movies, and she now also produces and directs films. But she is first and foremost a fiber artist before she even became an actor.
Yeah.
she had she studied fiber and fabrics at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York, and has this wonderful store with. And you must take a look at the pictures of these scarves. I mean, she's got scarves from all over the world, you know, in cotton and wool and cashmere, and the designs are spectacular. I mean, they're like works of art. And Harriet, of course, was very enthusiastic about them. But if anybody looks at the pictures, you'll see why. I mean, they are really beautiful. I mean, they dress up any outfit, but they're collector's items on their own. And Karen weaves a lot of them herself. She has a studio right above the store where she is knitting. It's a knitting machine, and she is creating her own line of scarves, which are really beautiful, interesting designs and great colors, and she's doing them out of cashmere yarn.
It's interesting. So, I just think it's entrepreneurship.
It's
what this country and business originally was based on.
That's
you come
right.
up with an idea, and you go out and you do
right.
it.
Yeah, not chains. I mean, they're not chain stores. They're little stores that people put their hearts and souls into.
All right, well, I
think it's so interesting that she had this, you know, fabulous other career. And this was something that she just loved to do.
And she said, you know, she'd be on the knitting, on the movie sets, knitting away. Because as she points out, you know, she said there's nothing more boring than a movie set. That you're there for 15 hours a day and they may need you for 3 or 4, and if you don't have something else to do, you go nuts. So, you know, she's got her knitting needles clacking away on movie
sets.
So
you can imagine her characters in the... You would never imagine her character in the Raiders of the Lost Ark being, you know, offset knitting away.
All right, well, we have about 2.5 minutes left, so which story would you like to go over in the last 2.5 minutes?
Oh, dear.
Well, they're really one story. Oh, well, quickly, I mean, just we can dispense with this weather. We have, you know, we have this weather guru named Nick Diller who writes for us regularly, and he was just putting, you know, we've had this very warm weather, and he said, we haven't had weather like this. I mean, the average, you know, it's 1994. This high temperature missed the top mark by 1 degree, which was set in 1994. And our low temperature is the highest minimum since 1988. So,
he keeps this fabulous record.
Yes.
Over the, you know, for the last, I don't know, 40 or 50 years, and he. He's got these, which is, you know, an archive of very valuable information.
Right, and we publish.
About, which we publish every week.
We publish every month.
Yeah, you know, and it's really interesting.
All right,
I just want to direct your listeners or our listeners to a new series that was started by our very good writer, Sheila Clary, and it's called Where We Are. And she is interviewing random people in South County to ask them how they feel about their lives and the Berkshires. And so we published her second installment. She did 6 people on October 30th, and now this past Sunday we published 3 of her interviews, that I think 3 more young people, all Berkshire County natives, talking about what life is like for them. So these are very, it's hard for, you know, just, I mean.
This is a way of getting a portrait of this community.
Yes.
Through their lives and struggles and achievements of local people.
Right.
It's an interesting way of looking at history here.
Right. And life.
I mean, and life,
so she's,
right.
You know, these are people who don't get into the news, but they reflect what's going on in our community. So.
Yeah.
We should, you know, so I really recommend them to listeners.
All right. Well, we are flat out of time.
Yes.
But once again, the stories are all available for you 24 hours a day.
In perpetuity.
That's right. At the Berkshire.
You can always find them.
At the BerkshireEdge.com. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Thanks, Marshall. Have a good week.
Yep, take care. That is the Berkshire Edge On Air. Once again, you'll find them at theberkshireedge.com on the web.